Good morning, my friends, and welcome to another exciting installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday. Since we last spoke, there has been a lot going on. It seems that Albert Ogden Conservatives, or Wyoming AOC, has been mulling over the idea of a special session. As it turns out, and I know this is going to come as a complete shock to you, they might be amenable to a special session if they were only talking about Senate File 54. That's the bill that the governor vetoed, the only tax relief bill that would have given a little bit of relief to all Wyoming citizens, and not just the groups that the Wyoming caucus believes might be their most reliable voters. Now, why do I say that it's the Wyoming caucus and not just Albert Ogden Conservatives? Well, in their missives about the matter, and miss being the operative word, they didn't mention the Wyoming caucus at all. It was just a message from legislative leadership. President of the Senate, Ogden Driscoll, and Speaker of the House, Redcoat Albert Sommers. I really wish his title included the word redcoat. It would be so much more honest. But the reason we know that it's the Wyoming caucus, and it's not just Albert and Augie, is that the press releases, because that's what they really are, press releases and not opinion editorials, I'll get to that in just a second, both of them were sent by none other than old Red herself, Rebecca Fitzgerald. If you remember correctly, old Red is the paid political operative of the Wyoming caucus. In fact, she's the treasurer of their political action committee. She doesn't hold an official title with the state of Wyoming. She's not employed by the Legislative Service Office. She's not a secretary of the legislature. And so it kind of makes you wonder why she's sending out press releases on behalf of legislative leadership. Because at least the first press release is not a message from legislative leadership. It is a message from the Wyoming caucus, a private political action committee of which Albert and Ogden clearly are involved and comprises the most liberal members of the Wyoming legislature. But this whole old Red Albert and Augie thing does tell us one other little morsel, that they've all been involved together from the very beginning and that Albert Sommers was absolutely aware of the Wyoming caucus breaking the law during the legislative session by using Clark Stith's office for political purposes. If you have forgotten, that's a violation of Wyoming Statute 913-105 A and B. That's the ethics statute in Wyoming law. If you missed the episode that explains this whole thing, it's entitled The Wyoming Caucus Caught Red-Handed. You really should go listen to it. Now, the second press release that Albert and Augie sent out was on official legislative letterhead, just like the first one should have been, but of course they couldn't do that because really it's a message from the Wyoming caucus and not an official message from House and Senate leadership. But anyway, the second one was on letterhead, and basically it said, well, you know, upon further reflection, we think that having a special session may not be a bad idea to only discuss Senate File 54. So let me tell you what really happened here. Essentially, old Red and the Wyoming caucus jumped out on a rock in the middle of the creek that wasn't exactly as stable as they thought it was, and they fell into the creek and got themselves all wet. Without belaboring my metaphor too much, here's what happened. After the governor had vetoed House Bill 125 and Senate File 54, 125 was the repeal gun-free zones bill, and of course Senate File 54 was the property tax bill that would have given relief to every Wyoming citizen. But after the veto came in, They told Ole Red to type up a press release and send it out and to make sure that they insulted Wyoming citizens and definitely the conservatives in the House for even suggesting that there might be a special session to try to override the vetoes. Unbeknownst to them, because they're not in tune with Wyoming citizens at all, they failed to realize that the governor had really ticked off a lot of people in Wyoming. So Ole Red sent out the press release. Here's what her email said. In the subject line, and I quote, news release, presiding officers issue statement regarding potential special session. That pretty much sounds like a press release to me, or at least I would take it that way. But here's what the email says in the body, and I quote, good morning. Please find attached a statement from Senate President Ogden Driscoll and Speaker of the House Albert Sommers regarding the potential for a special session. Their contact numbers are included. Thank you, Ole Red. Rebecca. So it's pretty clear that that's a press release, a statement, as it were, and not an opinion editorial, as Ole Red would try to claim later in an email she sent out to various news agencies trying to correct the mishap or the teetering off the rock in the middle of the creek. Let me just give you a sample of their statement slash press release from the presiding officers of the Wyoming legislature, and I quote, the legislature cannot simply meet for one day in a special session to vote to override vetoes, with the majority floor leaders in both chambers motioning to adjourn, sign, die, and gaining approval from the members present. All bills and actions of the 2024 budget session by the legislature are finished. We do not recall the legislators who are now clamoring for a special session, formerly asking us or the chambers to utilize our 3 extra days. The very legislators who are asking for a special session created delay after delay during the budget session by asking for roll call votes, trying to resurrect zombie bills, bringing procedural motions, and filibustering debate. Simply put, they squandered precious time in a budget session where time is our enemy. We had plenty of time in our established calendar to pass bills and do veto overrides, blah, 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 end quote. A couple of things here. Pretty insulting to suggest that requiring you to be on the record with your votes is somehow wasting time. That making sure important pieces of legislation that Wyoming citizens truly care about is also wasting time. That would be property tax relief and guns. Now, I would assume that after Wyoming citizens read that the phones of Albert Ogden conservatives and the rest of their pals in the Wyoming caucus started to ring off the hook when they realized that they had seriously miscalculated and that Red had sent out their press release to almost every media outlet, except, of course, Cowboy State Politics. They had to do some cleanup. And so Red pulled herself out of the creek, tried to dry herself off, and sent out yet another email. Listen very closely to how this thing is phrased. The subject line, correction, news release from legislative presiding officers was meant to be an op-ed, as if that makes it any better. Anyway, here's what she says. Quote, good morning. I mistakenly sent a press release from the legislative presiding officers as a news release. It was meant to be sent as an op-ed. I have attached it formatted the correct way. I greatly apologize for the mistake. Thank you, Ole Red. Rebecca. A press release as a news release. I don't really see the distinction. Same thing. Press release. Or at least, that's how I, as a media professional, would take that. And the rest of it says, it was meant to be sent as an op-ed. Well, that's not what the subject line is, and that's not what the body of the email said. So, no, it wasn't meant to be an op-ed. You just realized that you screwed up big time. So after this whole screw-up, then old Augie and Albert sent out another memorandum. Let me just read part of this dumb thing to you. Quote, today, upon further reflection, the Department of Revenue has informed us that notification of this exemption is not required and property owners can be notified, blah, 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 blah. Skip to the last part. We'll send out further information on this issue in the very near future. As we stated last week, All Wyoming homeowners deserve property tax relief after double-digit tax increases the past 2 years, and we're committed to delivering that meaningful tax relief. Now, hold on just a second. I thought they had already delivered meaningful tax relief with House Bill 45. That was going to be the one that would give Wyoming citizens the break that they would need. Y'all remember that bag of hooey? So anyhow, they got caught, and now they're trying to figure a way to spin this whole special session into it being their idea. Because, you know, quote, all Wyoming homeowners deserve property tax relief. Uh-huh. That's what you said you delivered in the budget session. I've put a link to their press release and their memorandum at the website cowboystatepolitics.com. That way you can look at it for yourself and figure out that, yeah, they both are press releases, and one of them tells you exactly what Albert Ogden conservatives think of you, Wyoming citizens. A couple of program notes before we continue on with the program. I know I told you that I was going to deliver that video to you of what happened on the House floor on the last day of the legislative session. I'm going to need a little bit more time with that. You wouldn't believe how much time it takes to go through video, the speed of which is set to frame by frame. So I'm just going to need a little bit more time, and I'll keep you updated when that episode is going to air. Also, our Congresswoman Harriet Hageman spoke in Buffalo last night. I've got a complete recording of her comments, and I'll publish that on the podcast tomorrow, so be looking for that. Funny thing about Harriet, it doesn't matter how much you know about what's going on, you always learn something. And there was a couple of things that she talked about last night that I had an idea that it was going on, but I didn't realize the scale. What she had to say is truly enlightening and really tells you why we have such a big problem in this country. So that'll be tomorrow on the program. On today's show, I had a great conversation with House District 40 candidate for the Wyoming House, Mark Jones. Of course, Mark is the hunting director and the legislative lobbyist for Gun Owners of America. He's been on the program several times before, but now it's an interview in a new capacity as he's running for the state house. It's a great discussion, and I'll bring it to you after the break. But first, an absolutely obscene profit timeout. I mean, come on, somebody's got to pay for this thing. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. If you're thinking about buying or selling a piece of real estate, you need an agent that you can trust. And that agent is Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. She's lived in Jackson for over 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market all the way across the state of Wyoming, from Devil's Tower to the Tetons, from Yellowstone Park down to the swamp. Rebecca Bextel is the person you want on your side for anything real estate. Give her a call, 307-699-3519. That's 307-699-3519. Morton Buildings is your source for any type of metal structure. It doesn't matter what you have in mind for your property, whether it's a garage or a barn or maybe something bigger like a roping arena or even a giant warehouse for your business. Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings are the two guys you need to talk to. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you could check them out at their website at mortonbuildings.com. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One cool thing they do is they pour concrete pillars and then insert a steel beam inside them and then pour the foundation on top. That way, there's no possibility of water getting underneath your building and ruining the foundation. So give them a call, 307-674-2532. That's Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. If anyone ever tells you that you have enough guns, you should just stop talking to them. You don't need that kind of negativity in your life. Anytime you hear something like that, you should immediately go to gunrunnerauctions.com. They are one of the nation's leading online firearms auction houses, and they're celebrating their 25th year. Scott Weber, the owner, specializes in estate firearms. The first thing he does is travels to the estate and appraises the firearms for the heirs. And he then brings them to his Cody auction facility, where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum about each firearm's history. Then every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his team post 500 fine firearms for sale. Winchesters, Colts, rare military weapons, even ammunition. All of the auctions start at $20 and there's no reserve. So if you're thinking about buying a new gun, or if you don't even know that you're thinking about buying a new gun, go to GunRunnerAuctions.com and you'll find exactly what you're looking for. The following advertisement was paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
I'm Reed Raisner, and I'm running for United States Senate because our politicians have forgotten what's important. They spend billions protecting borders in Europe and do nothing about our border. You deserve better. Wyoming deserves better. That's why I'm running, to serve you. Join me, and let's send new blood and a strong backbone to D.C. before it's too late. Go to ReedRaisner.com to learn more and join the fight.
And now, back to our program. House District 40 is currently held by Representative Barry Crago. As I've pointed out a number of times on the program, probably more than I can count, Representative Crago is part of the Wyoming caucus. In fact, he's one of the top guys in it. He's a redcoat. He votes with the Democrats about 75% of the time, all the while telling his constituents that he is one of the conservative members of the House. That couldn't be further from the truth. On Evidence-Based Wyoming's list of the big spenders in the Wyoming legislature, Barry Crago ranks pretty close to some of the biggest spenders in Cheyenne. Mark Jones, whom you've heard from on the program before, has decided to run for the House District 40 seat in the Wyoming legislature. We had a great discussion yesterday. Here it is. Joining me back on the program is Mark Jones. Mark, been a long time, man.
David, it's always good to see you and be on Cowboy State Politics.
So, first question right out of the gate, what possessed you to run for the state legislature?
I've been asked that question a lot lately.
I wonder why.
Yeah. You know, David, I got involved as a volunteer in politics in 2008 when Obama got elected, and because I really felt convicted to try to do my part to help save our country, honestly. And I worked as a volunteer for many years, and over the last few years, as I've worked as for Gun Owners of America, I've been asked to run for office, and I never really considered doing it. But I felt like I felt convicted over the last few months to try to step up and step up to the plate and try to serve my community and my state in the Wyoming legislature. So it came after a lot of reflection and thought and prayer, and a lot of people in Johnson County behind me, locals that have been talking to me about it for a long time.
I know you've answered these questions before on the program, but it's been a long time. So why don't you tell me about yourself? I know you live in Johnson County, but haven't lived here very long. Mm-hmm. So why don't you just tell me about yourself?
Okay, so yeah, I'm a 54-year-old father, two young children, retired once. I'm still a certified wildlife biologist. I like to say I'm a certified wildlife biologist by profession and a freedom-loving American in every other way. So I retired and went to work for Gun Owners of America 3 years ago, moved to Wyoming. It was my second time living in Wyoming. Actually, I lived in Wyoming in my early 20s, and I often wish I'd have stayed here then. I lived in southern Wyoming in encampment, but always came back to hunt and fish and knew a lot of people. And that's, when I retired, came here, I'm planning to spend the rest of my life here. This is home. It's been home now for 3 years. And Wyoming's the last best place. It'll be the last free state, I feel like. And our country's under attack from the left, and I mean, you have to be kind of living under a rock not to know that. So, you know, I'm committed to trying to help preserve Wyoming as a last best place and fight for traditional American values. So, you know, I wasn't born here, but as I like to tell people, I was born in America, and I fight for traditional American values. You know, always have, always will.
So 3 years ago, that means you probably bought your house before the big real estate boom and before property taxes went through the roof. Tell me what that was like, moving here, buying a house, and then you get this big, gigantic bill in the mail.
Yeah, my property taxes have gone up about 70%, I think, in the 3 years we've been here. That's been quite a shock. So I'm feeling the pain like most people in Wyoming from this property tax increase. And, you know, as a conservative, as a fiscal conservative, I think that we certainly need to work to provide tax relief to people and rein in, not only stop the increases, but I think we need to roll back the rate that we're at right now, honestly. That would be my kind of the platform I'm going to run on, is not only stopping the increase, but rolling it back a little bit. That didn't happen in this last session, but I think it can happen in the future.
So you spent a lot of time down in Cheyenne during the budget session. What was your feeling about how things went, the property tax bills that they passed? I mean, you were there and watched mm-hmm, most of it, mm-hmm. So just give me your thoughts on it.
Yeah, so it was my third legislative session in Wyoming, working for Gun Owners of America, but you get to see everything they do when you're there, in addition to just the gun or Second Amendment legislation. And there was a clear battle between fiscal conservatives and people who like to spend a lot of money and tax at a high rate.
Right, Coach.
It was a very clear battle, yes. And frankly, the battle in the on the House side, the fiscal conservatives were outnumbered by a fair amount, so they could only do so much. On the Senate side, for most of the session, the fiscal conservatives held a slight majority. I would say a lot of votes were coming in 16, 15, 17, 14. And there was certainly at one point in the process, the Senate's budget was $1.1 billion lower than the House's.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And if you were really following the process, the logical question was, why can the Senate, why can they fund our government at $1.1 billion less than the House? So there was clearly some huge philosophical differences there in terms of what's necessary to provide necessary services to the state of Wyoming. And obviously I lean toward those conservatives in the Senate who were trying to bring us a conservative fiscal budget. But that was a clear dichotomy there. And you have to keep in mind too that we've had historical rates of spending increases in recent years. So what we're talking about is additional increases on top of historical increases in recent years. It's remarkable.
It's amazing, actually. And, you know, I've lived in Wyoming almost my entire life. I was born here, and, you know, I lived through the 1980s when nobody had any money.
Right.
And, you know, my parents owned a business in Buffalo. And so I remember those ups and downs. And you hear legislators all the time, and the not so fiscally conservative folks you're talking about, you always hear them say, well, you know, we got to save for a rainy day and we got to put all this money in the bank. Well, the truth is they've been stashing money like left and right, and they've been very unwilling to give any of that money back to Wyoming citizens. And really, like, the money they do give back in the terms of rebates, it's a pittance mm-hmm. when compared with the, you know, billions of dollars that they've put into Wyoming savings. So, question, what would you do differently? I mean, let's say you get elected, mm-hmm. you go down to Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. What would you do differently property tax-wise?
I think the first thing we need to do with property taxes is we need to roll them back to a level of 2019 or 2020 levels. And there was a bill that was proposed by Representative Locke from Natrona County that would have actually done that, and it did not get introduced into the House.
No, they didn't want that one seeing the light of day.
No, and what I would like all your listeners to understand is that Representative Locke also ran that as an amendment to House Bill 45, which was Representative Crago's bill. And that amendment would have taken Crago's bill, which was at 2023 levels, and rolled it back to 2019 as a starting point for our taxes. And not only did Representative Crago vote against that, he actually spoke against it on video on the House floor. I believe it was about 4:45 in the afternoon on February 22nd. So folks can look at that for themselves, where House District 40's current representative did not want to roll your taxes back to 2019 levels. I think that's the first thing we need to do in a future legislative session, is roll those back to a reasonable level and then cap the future rate of increase. That's my position.
So what are your thoughts on maybe moving to an acquisition-based tax structure?
Yeah. Well, I know that has been talked about a lot, and as far as it's only gotten as far as a study bill that one of the representatives was able to pass in 2023, and it was supposed to be studied and reported on, and I've not even seen if that's been effectively reported upon what
the
results would be.
They did their study all right.
Yeah.
But it was very clear that the directive they were given was study why this won't work. Why it won't, mm-hmm. Why it'll screw everything up. Because that's the conclusion that they came to. And it very much mirrored a lot of government-backed studies that you see come out in the news,
mm-hmm.
that the people researching it are paid to come up with a certain result.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clear, if you listen to that Revenue Committee meeting, that was the intended result, mm-hmm. of that study. Mm-hmm. And, I foresee that bill is going to come back a couple more times.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Representative Jennings will run it, at least one more time, maybe,
mm-hmm.
two.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty stubborn when it comes to those things.
Mm-hmm.
So what else are you running on? I mean, guns, obviously, that's what you do for a living.
Right.
Why don't you tell my listeners what exactly you do for a living, and then just give me some of your positions on firearms.
Okay. So I'm still a certified wildlife biologist, once retired, and I run our national hunting programs. So I run GOA, Gun Owners of America's hunting programs for all 50 states. And one of the primary things we try to do is engage hunters in the Second Amendment debate, get them involved. And I realize, for those that are already questioning, the Second Amendment is not about hunting. That's our motto, actually. The Second Amendment is not about hunting, but hunters should be about the Second Amendment. So we try to engage hunters politically across America in the fight to protect their rights and liberties. And that's my main job. Also deal with Wyoming legislative affairs, which I will take a step back from if elected to the Wyoming legislature. Passionate about rights, all constitutional rights, First Amendment, Second Amendment rights, all constitutional rights. And that's what I do for a living. But I'm also I'm a believer in personal liberties and freedoms. I'm a believer in parental rights. Your right to your own health care decisions. Do you want to take the shot?
No. Take
it if you right. I don't either, but I believe that's a personal decision. I don't believe the government should mandate things like that. I was really sad to see what happened as a country through the COVID situation, with mandates about vaccines and mandates about where you couldn't go and shutting down businesses and things like that. I don't believe that's the role of government. So I think that we need to get back to our constitutional roots in this country. And I'm passionate about all those kind of things. I think we need to secure our border. I think the state can do some things to help with this problem. We couldn't pass a bill in this current session to keep illegal aliens from getting driver's licenses.
No.
Our own representative voted not to bring that on the floor after it was killed in committee, and he voted not to bring that on the House floor. And I would stand up for things like that. We have a right in this country to restrict access to our services to people who came here illegally. And we've got to start protecting our own border, and the state can take a role in that. So, I'm a traditional American who believes in rights and liberties and freedoms, and parental rights are important. Your right to educate your children the way you want, your right to raise your children the way you want. I'm a strong believer in the freedom of religion. Your right to worship the way you want. Let me worship the way I want. Fiscally conservative, we need to give more of our, we need lower taxes. We need to let people keep more of their money. Government should fulfill basic services, but government is not shouldn't have a role in our everyday lives. We're not a nanny state. So those are a lot of the things that I believe in, David. And my website, markjonesforwyoming.com, I lay out 10 of my major political, you know, views or issues that I'm focusing on there. People can read about those there. You know, but we live in the greatest country that's ever been, but we're losing it. And I think everybody knows that. If you watch the news and watch what's happening around the country. So we've got to have bold leaders who'll stand up for what's right and stand up for traditional American values, stand up against the federal government legally and through the legislative processes. You know, and those are the things I would do.
Should we have a special session?
Absolutely.
Why?
We should have a special session because the people's elected body, there's 93 people. There's 31 in the Senate. There's 62 in the House. They passed a number of important, or a number of pieces of legislation that were very important that the governor vetoed. Now, that was his right to veto those. I do not think he was right to do it, but he had the power to do it. And the legislature, by our Constitution and by the rules that we have, they also have the right to come back and try to reverse what he did. So, you know, anybody that says it's too expensive, that's not true. We spend lots and lots of money on lots of more frivolous things than that. But the people's elected body has the right to do that. And we have got a problem in this country, David. We have let the executive branch at the state and federal level take way too much power. Our founders set up a system of three branches of government, legislative, judicial, and executive. And they're supposed to be co-equal. And the legislative body has abdicated so much of its authority across America and in Washington to this powerful executive. And they have a right to rein that in. And they should take an opportunity to exercise that right. They should have a special session, no question.
All right, so let's talk about a couple of the bills that the governor vetoed.
Okay.
Let's start with Senate File 54. Mm-hmm. That was the property tax bill. You know, there was a little bit of kerfuffle in the media. I've been covering it today and yesterday. Op-eds going back and forth. So the question I have for you, though, is why should we have a special session to deal with Senate File 54 and when we've already got, you know, four or five property tax bills that passed? I mean, why go back after this one?
That's the only bill that provides everybody in Wyoming tax relief. The other bills are very targeted at very specific groups or situations. So the governor vetoed the only bill that would let everybody in Wyoming get some tax relief. That is a reason to revisit that bill. And I know there's at least two or three other important bills, which I assume you're going to ask about. But everybody out there should understand they do not get tax relief from the four bills that the governor did sign. Not everybody gets relief. Some people will. But it's groups, small groups of people for the ones that currently passed.
Yeah, and my biggest problem with all of those measures is they're picking winners and losers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one bill that gives, if you're 65 years old or older, or if you've paid property taxes for 25 years, then they'll give you a break. But if you're a young married couple and you want to start a family and you want to buy your own home, your property taxes are going to be out the roof. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason why you should give a property tax break over here, but not to this group. So
I agree, David. I hate it when the government picks winners and losers.
Well, we do that all over the place,
Mark. We do
that
when the government subsidizes one industry and doesn't subsidize another. There's a lot of examples, but it's not right. It's a form of socialism. And I don't think a lot of times people fully understand it, but I hope people will understand that everybody does not get tax relief under the current situation we're in. So that's a reason to go back.
Okay, now let's talk about the other one that I know you're jonesing to visit about, and that's House Bill 125.
Right.
It's the repeal gun-free zones bill. The governor put out a statement saying, you know, these are the reasons why I'm vetoing the bill, and one of them was, well, it takes away local control over firearms. Talk to me about it.
Yes, and that was in the letter the governor wrote the night he vetoed House Bill 125, which would have been Friday, March 22nd, and that the argument was basically he used the words local control norms were overridden by House Bill 125, and he used the word constitutional in that sentence as if it, and he implied it was a very irregular sentence, but essentially he implied that local control could be constitutional. And he also implied strongly that the legislature could not override that. And it's a very dangerous false constitutional argument to assert that a local entity can infringe on your constitutional rights. And I actually had an opinion piece in Cowboy State Daily today, March 26th, that came out, where I say the governor was wrong, and I explain why that's a very dangerous constitutional argument. And I gave two examples, and there's hundreds of where our country has wrongly had local control of constitutional rights. One I gave was during the COVID years when some localities in America shut down churches. And that was an egregious violation of First Amendment rights. And that was actually struck down multiple times by the Supreme Court. Even 9-0 in many cases, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't stop people from worshiping. It's a First Amendment violation. But that's an egregious example of local control of constitutional rights. And the other example I gave in my opinion piece in Cowboy State Daily was Jim Crow laws back in the South 100 years ago. And after blacks got the right to vote under the 15th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, there were still localities in the South that had poll taxes and other forms of or other measures to try to keep black people from voting. And that was so egregious and so unconstitutional. Fortunately, court decisions and legislation moved us past that period in our history. But those are two examples of local control of a constitutional rights.
And why his argument is total
so
BS.
His argument is total baloney. I can't believe that was the argument that he chose to go with. But the basic bottom line, to take this back to the Second Amendment, you cannot control the Second Amendment at the local level. It's completely unconstitutional.
Well, Mark, thank you for sitting down with me. I've taken up enough of your time. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Check out markjonesforwyoming.com. On our website, and check out Mark Jones for Wyoming on Facebook. Love to have you.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you, David.
That'll do it for today's installment of the program. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday during Weekend Update. Don't forget about tomorrow's replaying of Harriet Hageman's appearance in Johnson County. You don't want to miss that one. She had a lot to say, and some of the stuff I guarantee you haven't heard before. So check that out tomorrow on the program. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.